Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's getting f***ing ridiculous, KK. This is what's happening. You know what I mean? We have a whole second half of the season to go and get ready for, but like I'm sick of it. To be honest with you, we all are. You know, and I think this is something that just it eats me. It eats at me, man. And it's y'all know what it is. We all know what it is, but it's really getting out of hand. It's really, really, really getting out of hand.
Donovan here.
All right, after last night's game, Joel Embiid 76ers frustrating the Jazz. They get the win. And is it time, Mike Reese? Are the 76ers ready to win, but they're just a little bit short? They need one more player to put them over the top and be a legitimate championship contender. I think they are. I do. I think they are, and I think Kyle Lowry can be that guy.
Yeah, I just don't think, you know, I like Kyle Lowry. I just don't think that now is the time to be doing that. The Sixers have been burned in the past when thinking about short-term success versus long-term success. You know, when we decided to trade for Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris and those guys, it was, oh, you only have a small window for Embiid. Oh, he's a big man. He's only going to last so long. That was 3 years ago, right? Now we're talking about another three-year window. So we may be fortunate, knock on wood, keep your fingers crossed. I almost don't even want to utter the words, but maybe the big man is past that. Like, maybe he's finally matured and grown into his body and his body. You got to realize, Embiid started playing basketball late in his life. And so he hasn't been playing a ton. So his body isn't necessarily used to doing basketball things. He didn't grow up from 5, 6, 7 years old playing basketball right to where he's used to doing this stuff. And maybe that was his body getting adjusted to doing the things his mind was saying his body can do.
Well, now his body's maybe gotten
used
to it.
And now it's adjusted to it and it's ready to go. I got to be honest with you. He's hit the floor. LeBron, God bless him, he's a baby goat. But he could have literally injured Embiid when he pushed him out of the air.
Yep.
Could have literally. Now, you and I both know 2 years ago, Embiid's on a shelf for a month. That happens. He hasn't had to sit for real injury at all this year. They may have rested him at times.
But 6 games in the first half isn't bad at all.
And how much of that was due to injuries or whatever?
Just load management and
that's
making sure he's
all right. That's all it's
really been. No, but honestly,
that's all it's really been.
I was thinking about this. I mean, like, even when I say, like, the way he's playing right now, you got to go for it right now. It's less about he's got a smaller window. He may have a smaller window, but I don't feel like that anymore, right?
Right.
Like,
I feel that
he's just, like, he's like,
yeah, he's coming into his own.
I when I watch games, I don't worry about him the same way that I used to, right? I really don't, because he's managed to stay healthy for the most part, right? So he has. So you're saying, being that you're not as worried about the injury stuff with him, you don't have to go for it now.
No, my window is open, and I'm not going to tell you that I don't think Kyle Lowry would be an improvement. How much of an improvement, I'm not sure. I don't know if it necessarily gets you past the Nets. I'm perfectly fine if my destination is on my destiny is to go out in the playoffs to the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals after 6 or 7 games. I'll be ready to come back next year with playoff experience, seasoned, young guys, hungry that have gotten that experience. And I'm going to have a nice little window here with this core. I like this core. I don't like Danny Green on the team. Got to get him off the team. I'm more athletic than Danny Green is right now. I don't like Seth Curry being in my starting lineup.
No.
I would much prefer to have him coming off the bench. But everything else I like. And I think the Sixers have a legitimate argument to be of being the best team in the Eastern Conference right now. Now, just because I don't believe that they can take the Nets in a 7-game series doesn't mean they can't take the Nets in a 7-game series. Mm. And the only reason I don't think they can do it right now is just experience.
Right.
It's experience. But I like the makeup of this team. I like how they're playing for one another. I like how there's no drama. There's nothing around this team.
Good chemistry, I agree.
Good chemistry with the team. Embiid is the clear-cut leader of the team. He has his trusty co-stars in Tobias and Ben Simmons there. You got the role players who know their roles on the team as defenders, the young guys. I like it. I like this team.
So you want to see.
I like this team. I don't need Kyle Lowry coming in and changing the dynamics of the team.
Mm. Now, see, like, I agree with everything you said. This team does feel special. It does. Like, I'm not saying they have special players like maybe some of the other teams, but there's something brewing here where this is a good team.
Yeah.
I think it's missing one piece. It's missing one piece. And maybe Kyle Lowry isn't good enough to be the piece.
I'm just telling me Bradley Beal, okay.
Yeah, and they're probably not going to be available, and I would love Bradley Beal or I would love a better player. But I think Kyle Lowry is good enough. He's just good enough to be the above-average player that they need. Ben's the super role player. Tobias is a quasi-all-star, right? I think they have a somewhat decent bench, and you're going to lose a couple guys if you trade. I'll push the chips in with Kyle Lowry, because what are you really losing? Mm-hmm. If you trade a couple of first-round draft picks and you trade Maxey or one of your young players for Lowry, I just, for me, it's worth a shot to go for it. To go for it, because right now, if you don't go for it and you lose to the Nets, now you're coming back next year, and you're going to try to do the same thing, which is get yourself better. Get yourself better now. Get yourself better now. Then you can resign Kyle Lowry if you want to. You retain his rights.
That's the biggest poison pill, is re-signing Kyle Lowry. You're going to sign up for 2 or 3 more years of this? Nah, at 35, 36, and 37 years old, no.
Well, I mean, if you're telling me it's going to be 3 for $90 million, I'm not really interested in that. But if it's 2 for 55, depending on how he plays this year, I think he has enough left in the tank to where he can be the difference maker. 215-592-9494. What do the people think out there? Go all in or go with what you have right now? Matt in Pottstown, who wants to be called the Matt in Pottstown, joins us right now. What's up, the Matt?
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up?
What's up, man?
Before I go to my Sixers and some of the discussion that you just talked about, I just want to get up to my quote. There's lots of great world quotes out there, but I was just going to stick with Philly sports quotes. And John, you stole one of my favorites of all time, which is the Ricky Waters. So I've been kind of going back and forth between two. Mm-hmm. One's Buddy Ryan, which is all he does is score touchdowns, and the other one's not really a quote. It's more of what he said. It's boo me, and you guys know the rest of that. But I'm going to go with Buddy Ryan. All he does is score touchdowns.
Was that the Chase Utley?
Cliff Lee.
No, I think that was Chase. Was it Chase or Cliff?
No, it was Chase Utley in the All-Star when they booed him.
In New York, right? Yeah.
And on live air on the broadcast, he said something else that I can't say. And, you know, that's
He used that same word on another broadcast.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny, Matt. We'll let you get your point in. But yeah. Those are the moments that actually resonate with me more with Chase Utley is those moments right there, because that's where he seemed real and authentic.
Yes, because I think, you know, he was stoic and he was a gamer and all those things, but at those moments, it's like, I think that's the real guy that the clubhouse got, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. With the Sixers, and Ike, I'm 100% with you with Danny Green. We saw in the Cleveland game, the chinks in the armor with Danny Green that I felt coming in. But here's the guy that I think kind of could be the piece. I think Kyle Lowry is the plan B option, right? And Bradley Beal, obviously, there's too much there. What about Victor Oladipo? There's a guy who's younger than Lowry, but he's in that same context as Bradley Beal that you can get at a better price. You can get him over a longer term than you can Kyle Lowry.
Now we're talking.
You're not going to give up as much. Now that puts Green coming off the bench. That strengthens your second unit, right? Because I don't like him as a starter or Seth. Now you get Victor Oladipo, and he fits this scheme because what's the thing that Victor Oladipo does best? He's a great two-way player, but he's better at the defensive end, which helps this team tremendously. So I would love to see us go all chips in on Victor Oladipo.
What do you think the price
he's
is, though?
28.
What do you think the price is?
He's 28, but I think you can get him for less than Beal, but more than Lowry. So he's that in-between piece that's going to get us that long-term that we're talking about. We don't want the rental in Lowry because, you know, like you just said, you don't want 3 years, $90 million. Mm-hmm. And you know you can't sell the farm for Bradley because you have to give too much. I think with Oladipo, you can get him in here for the price for some draft picks. And if you give up Danny Green, so what?
Yeah.
But if not, it strengthens your second unit. And you give it, like you just said, you're probably going to give up Maxey or some young guys. And again, that's okay too, because it's about right now. So I think Victor Oladipo is the solution.
I like it, Matt. I hadn't thought about it, but now that you bring him up, there was some rumblings that Victor Oladipo wasn't necessarily happy being in Houston.
So he turned down a two-year $50 million extension.
Yeah. Call up Houston.
Now, there is a potential problem if the owner of the Rockets, if it's true he doesn't want to do business with Daryl Morey because of the way that he left there.
Right.
And that was rumored to be one of the reasons why they didn't take the Sixers package in the James Harden
trade. I need to see the package.
Thank you, Jackie.
Yes.
Sort of breaking news.
I didn't hit breaking news because it's sort of breaking news, but it is Eagles related from Mike Kay. The Eagles aren't expected to offer a restricted tender to Cam Johnston.
They're not?
If you do that again.
That's why I hit the sort of breaking news. Sort of breaking news.
Hold on. So they're not.
We just lost our punter?
Restricted tender to Cam Johnston. I'm not going to offer it to him.
So
now, I think that means they can re-sign him.
Right. Yeah, they can.
It's just they don't have to offer him a certain amount of money, which is what the tender would be.
Yes. He's the best player last year.
I was going to say, he was one of our few good
players. We're cost-cutting the punter? Jake Elliott's got like a Alshon contract thanks to Howie.
Exactly, yes.
So does it say what that cost would have been?
It doesn't. Because
I can understand that if it means that he can make like $2 million or something, they're like, no, we're not going to do that. We'll just try to re-sign him at a lower price.
They're going to get under that cap.
Listen, they had better be prepared to pay him more than $2 million. Are you kidding me?
Well, I don't even know what punters make these days.
Well, just let me tell you this. He's not an average punter.
Although they did bring in they brought in a punter during midseason and signed to a futures contract.
Yeah, see, because they know they can't pay Cam Johnston. He wants to get paid.
This is their big move? This is how they're getting the $43 million off the book?
Well, for the longest, Cam Johnston was one of the highest average punt guys in the league.
And net.
Yeah, so from his standpoint, he's like, I may be able to get a nice little deal somewhere from somebody. Why would I want to sign – $2 million a year deal.
So Cam Johnston made $750,000 this year. Mm-hmm. The highest paid punter in the league is Thomas Morstead at $3.9 million.
Yeah, the Eagles damn sure ain't giving him
money. Right, which is I just don't know like what the tender, like what would the money be? But
well, you said $2 million something.
Oh, no, I didn't say.
Oh, I thought you said it was $2
million. No. I think that was just a guesstimate.
Oh, okay.
even middle of the road punters make about $2 million.
Yeah,
right. So you can go down 1, 2, 3, 5. Yeah. So like 15 to 20 make $2 million.
So Rap Sheet just tweeted out the Eagles have elected not to tender punter Cam Johnston due to salary cap issues, making him an unrestricted free agent. He should have an active market.
Yeah.
So he's gone.
Yeah. Somebody will. Yeah.
Someone will sign him, and they'll bring in
another punter.
They'll bring in another punter. And
Cam Johnston was good. It was wasted last year. He had to punt a lot, for sure.
Just hate to see the Eagles punt on a season.
Boom, boom.
Well, no, they're not going to punt on a season.
Is an idiot.
No, we'll take that. Listen, you've been on the roll all week. We'll let you get your corny jokes in, too.
I think that qualified as breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it's one of our best players.
Yeah.
Man.
I know. You guys are all in my head with the breaking news and sort of breaking news.
He's not sure what to do.
Well, I didn't know if I should have the celebration music ready. Like, I'm all flustered.
No celebration music. That's not a good thing.
Listen, when they decide, did they decide they're not bringing back Jason Peters?
Well, we're not sure yet. He says a lot left in the tank.
The key card still works. My sources are telling me.
Make of this what you will. He was wearing an Eagles hoodie on with Good Morning Football.
True.
Well, he doesn't know any other team.
I know.
Yeah, he probably doesn't have any other clothes.
Oh, what about a Bills?
He burnt that stuff a long time ago.
He hates the Bills.
Yeah, he probably hates the Bills.
Gave it all to Ross Tucker.
All right, back to the phones with Greg in Northeast Philly. Gregory, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
All right,
what's up, G?
Great, great, great. Can I start out with my quote?
Oh, yes, sure. Please.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna start out with my quote because this fighter, my father actually fought against. His name is Muhammad Ali, and he said, "Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee."
All right, so
rumble,
back to the
young man, rumble.
Hold on.
Your father fought against him.
Yeah, slid that in
yes.
there.
My father's name is Donald Warner. He fought against then Cassius Clay in 1960 in Miami.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Is he a Philadelphia native?
Yes, he's a Philadelphia native. My dad is. He's his nickname was Shotgun Warner.
Wow, that is so awesome. He scored a technical knockout after the referee stopped the fight in the fourth round. And later, Warner would be a sparring partner for Joe Frazier.
Yes. My dad said that Muhammad Ali's hands was the fastest or the quickest that he ever seen in his life.
Wow, that is so cool.
That's pretty cool, bro, for sure.
Yeah,
for
sure. Yeah. So, let me get to my Sixers point. And I just want to say that I'm kind of with the move to acquire – Kyle Lowry, and I tell you why. And I was just watching a replay of the Sixers game. Number one, he's a dog. Number two, he has championship breed. Number three, as I was watching the Sixers game, but these young point guards that we have, they're not they're not playmakers. They have floor generals, and you have a true point guard in Lowry that knows how to run the floor and has had the experience of playing against great players in big time moments.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I actually do like Kyle Lowry as a player. So I don't want to come off as if I don't like what Kyle Lowry would bring to the table. I think for me, it would be more or less me weighing the future, the next few years versus this year. Right? So I'm not opposed to upgrading the team, you know, Matt from Pottstown brought up Victor Oladipo.
Right.
That's an age where I'm more comfortable with committing to, because I would certainly like to get Victor Oladipo.
And get him signed up long term.
Sign two more years here, and you got him with these guys for the next 3 or 4 years. I guess the thing that I'm less concerned about what Lowry would do for me this year, and it would concern me more as to how he would string me moving forward, because I would basically have to be committed to him.
He's your
for
one
multiple
other move.
Years, yes.
Yeah, you'd rather leave your options open
and
let Daryl Morey figure something else out.
I want something better, like a Victor Oladipo, to become available, or Zach LaVine. Because let's say Zach LaVine or Bradley Beal becomes available next year around this time,
and then you can't do anything.
Now
because
we
you
can't
have
do anything. We've already committed to Kyle Lowry.
Now let me ask you something. In relation to the Joel Embiid,
yes.
Do you guys think that this is the best he's ever going to be, or is there a chance for improvement?
Maybe a little bit better.
Improvement. I don't know how much better can he be, Jack.
Seriously, I mean,
he's 30-13 right now, right?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know how much better. His thing is going to be, can he repeat this?
Yeah, like, would you say that, realistically, this is the best Embiid is ever going to be in his career?
Yes. With maybe a little bit better.
Yes. But here's the thing.
30.2 and 11.6.
And I know what you're saying, Jack. But with great players, you know this, can they sustain it? So in other words, can Embiid sustain this level of play for the next 5 years?
Right.
That's what you're hoping for. It doesn't have to be exactly 30-12 every night for the next 5 years. But he needs to be in the 28-31 point range, and certainly – double-digit rebounds over the next 5 years.
Mark Sinriso, 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. The one thing I worry about with Joe remaining consistent over 4 or 5 years, and it's further than the injury. Like, this year, everything seems to be going right. Everything's working well with Doc. Him and Ben, they seem like their chemistry on the court is good. Tobias, like, all the pieces fit this year.
Yeah.
But, like, it... Like, next year, if it's not working, they're not winning games. Like, can he continue to play at this high level if things aren't going well around him, right?
I don't see why they wouldn't be winning games. This is going to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference as long as Joel Embiid can walk and chew gum.
Yeah.
You're looking at one of the best players in basketball. I mean, seriously. Like, all these guys with these three-point shots and all this nonsense that today's NBA game has gone to, watching Joel Embiid is refreshing to watch because he looks different than everybody else I see.
Than anybody.
Night. Everybody else looks the same. You know, that's why I like watching Kawhi play. He's a mid-range player. He can play in the mid-range. His game looks different. Joel Embiid is a big man who actually has skills. Most of the big men in today's game are there to just play defense and rebound and catch lob dunks. Joel Embiid and Jokic are the only ones.
Skill guys, yeah.
They're the best players on their team.
Yeah.
And I think those are the only two big men you can make a case for.
You see Andre Drummond trying to drive the lane?
Right. Like what the hell can Andre Drummond do? Nothing.
Ball floor.
Right? No,
it's such a good point that there's nobody in the NBA like Joel Embiid. Mm-mm. No, I mean, like for the first time, I felt like
Jokic is a better passer. It's the only thing he does better than Joel Embiid.
He's a really good player, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a damn good player.
Like
that just tells you how good Embiid is.
Is this the first time that it felt like this with Carson Wentz in 2017, where the rest of the NFL was looking at it being like, wow, the Eagles got they got the next young guy, right? Like, they got, look, man, he's good, right? People were envious of what you had. Joel Embiid's that guy right now. If you're anywhere watching the NBA and you watch Joel Embiid play, if you watched that game last night, you're like, holy hell, this guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, but you still have a lot of people who think a big man can't lead you to a title, and that's not the way you win an NBA championship in today's game and all of that stuff. Well, I say this. How many people out there got somebody that can stop him? Nobody.
Pretty much.
Defensive player of the year, leader. Yeah, he hung 40 right. and 20
just,
on
yeah, exactly. You just saw what he just did to the defensive player of the year. So the Sixers are going to have to try to win their NBA championship by not being a cookie-cutter team like the rest of the NBA.
Right.
Because the rest of the NBA doesn't prepare for a team like the Sixers until they see the Sixers.
Because you don't see them.
Same thing with Denver. I'm so excited about what this team can be. Sometimes messing with it can mess it up. Be patient.
We're very patient in Philadelphia, Ike.
We did through the process.
Yes. Yeah, we've already been patient with the Sixers. The hell with that. Let's go to Q in West Philly. Hi, Q.
Fellas, what up?
What's up, Q?
What's up, Q?
Not much, man. Hey, Ike, you got to get off of that train about not pushing them chips to the table, dude. Like, I sat here and waited, and Matt echoed my same sentiment. Oladipo will fit us perfectly. He provides everything that we need. Let's get off of Kyle Lowry.
Okay, right? Okay, now we're talking, Q. Okay.
Let's get off of Lowry. Lowry is 6 foot. Oladipo's 6'4". Mm-hmm. Lowry, both of them are in the last year of their contract. Lowry's making $34 million. Oladipo is making $21 right now.
Mm.
The reason why he probably didn't re-up with Houston is because he doesn't want to play for a loser.
Right.
So hey, that's fine.
You sign him to like a 2 year, maybe a 3 if he takes
it. How about a max contract? Because that's what he's going to want.
Yeah. The reason why he didn't get the max contract with the Pacers was because he came off of that Achilles injury. Or was it a knee? It was one of those injuries.
It was something like that. Yeah, it was a serious injury.
Exactly. So he's not going to get that max. I think he knows he's not going to get the max, but mm-hmm. he fits perfectly, man. And I'm sure the coach whisper.
Would you be willing if you were able to trade for him? Would you be willing? Because let's face it, Tobias Harris got the max too, right? So Oladipo, different player than Tobias Harris, but I think they're on the same kind of level as player, right? Like, would you max him?
I don't know if I would max him, but I would give up a conditional one and get Danny Green bum behind out of here, man. A conditional one, like lottery protected.
Yeah.
Lottery protected one.
Yeah.
And what's my man's name? Maxie, I love you, young boy, but you probably got to go, man. But, this is what I want to ask you, Ike.
Yes. All right? Yes.
And main man stole my Muhammad Ali quote. I was going to read from the Book of the Goat, but it's hard to argue with somebody who probably got knocked out by him. So I got to figure.
That's a good point.
I got to figure something else out.
Damn, Q, that was hard, man. That was tough right there, man.
My bad, man. But, Ike.
What's up?
Are we seeing Joe start to develop that Mamba mentality?
Yes, sir.
Like, he don't give two you-know-whats about nobody. He's taking names of everybody that he's abusing, and all we keep hearing him say is, I come out to dominate. I'm dominating. I want to dominate. He's worked on his game. He got Doc in his corner.
And he's talking about defense, too.
He's locked in, Q. Yeah, he's locked in, and, Yeah. And now, Q, if you're talking about pushing in for Oladipo, okay. Okay, I'll push in for Oladipo. I'll push in for Oladipo this year. It's more or less Lowry because of the age, and I don't want to have to commit to him for more years. But an Oladipo, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Better player, younger player.
He's a two-way player. He can get his own shot. He can shoot from the outside.
Yeah.
Like,
I just wonder,
without a doubt.
I just wonder if there's another team out there that would be willing to give more.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if they'd be willing to give up more, but he's certainly going to be interested in Oladipo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially if the
Rockets. I didn't realize he was on the last year of his deal.
Yep. Yeah, the Rockets, it was almost seemed like a token offer to give him a 2-year contract, and he's right. Just, you know, like they gave him an offer they probably knew he was going to refuse, right? Mm-hmm. But they still gave him the offer. So now he goes out on the trade market.
Yeah. I tell you, who else can even use him?
He won't go to
Brooklyn.
If the Clippers are looking at Lowry, I'd assume they'd be looking at Oladipo.
Right.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But Lou Will's having a bad year.
Yeah, Lemon Pepper Lou, man.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Jordan Clarkson's the next version of Lou Will.
That's true.
I mean, it's crazy. Every year, every five years, there's a hot six man.
Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, it was Jamal Crawford forever. Then it was Lou Will, and now it's Jordan Clarkson.
He's the new guy.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Got a door window. The big sale's going on right now. Check it out. Buy one, get half off at 50%. The second for 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Got a Door and Window today, 877-GO-GOTTA, or visit goguida.com. Brian in Phoenix. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, fellas. Thanks. I think there's another trade out there with a team that's a seller and somebody younger and better than Oladipo, and that's with the Thunder. You give Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You give Maxi, Seibel, Isaiah Joe, maybe even 2 first-round picks. He's a young kid, and I think he's only good enough to keep the Thunder from getting a top pick or, you know, middling around in the playoffs somewhere.
Listen, Brian, I would – listen, I like – what do they call him?
SGA.
I was going to call him SAG, but it's SGA, not SAG.
No, that's how we get the movies.
Yes. Yeah, the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you got to say the whole name. OKC is not giving him up.
Right.
Brian, I would love to. He's young, he's cheap, but I just don't see why OKC would trade him.
He's Andre Iguodala. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's only good enough to middle you out. And why would you stay in the middle when you can – they already are garnering picks every which way, you know? So why not grab a couple more picks, get a couple more talented young kids that might be something in 2 or 3 years, and set yourself up for success 3-4 years down the road when there's some kids just like a Zion or just like a Joel. There's a Monty Bates coming out. There's the Hutchinson 7'2" guard kid that's coming out.
What school is Amone Bates going to?
I don't know if he said a school,
Brian. He's going to Michigan State. You know that.
Whatever happened, like,
you know that. The number one recruit in the country. Yes.
Brian, what's your quote?
My quote is Abraham Lincoln. It's not the amount of years in your life that matter. It's the amount of life in your years.
Oh, man. All right, that's a good one. That's a deep one.
Never mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't like you could make the case that here's why this guy would be traded. We'll give him all these draft picks and young players and wouldn't you want the young players and the draft picks, right?
Yeah. Listen, in a team like OKC, now they definitely realize they have to live off the draft. So, right, there are some teams that they know free agents aren't going to come to them. They know that they can't necessarily afford to pay somebody a max contract in a small market like Oklahoma City. So they have to draft well, and when they do draft well, they have to keep their young players and then just let them become free agents or try to trade them off in their last year.
Yep.
Like, that's what they have to do. Because even when they get a guy, the guy doesn't stay there long enough.
No, that has not been their history. He's averaging, by the way, SGA is averaging 23 a game.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're thrilled. They'd be pumped to get rid of
him. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
Isaiah Joe Isaiah, whoever else you want to throw in there. You don't have the – unless you're including Ben Simmons, and I don't even know if they do that.
They don't want to pay Ben Simmons. Yeah. You can't win. Right. So why would they want a guy that costs almost $30 million a year?
And I think, especially when they have Al Horford. Yeah.
But I also think that was the thing with – oh, that's right. They do have Al. But
I didn't even know that's where Al Horford was. Why did I think he was in Sacramento?
No.
There's a lot of Buddy Hield for Al Horford buzz over the
– okay. Yeah.
But it's the same reason why Houston probably looked at a trade with Ben Simmons and said, well, you know, Ben Simmons is a good player, but what is he going to do here?
Right.
You know, we'll win 23 games with Ben Simmons as our best player.
Yeah.
And then what? We're paying him $30-some million. He's going to be unhappy.
Yeah, he's going to want out.
Yeah, he's not going to want to be there. Like John Wall's happy to be playing somewhere right now. You think John Wall's happy to be in Houston? They've lost 13 straight games.
That's unbelievable. I mean, seriously, 13 straight games.
They had 8 players last night because of COVID. They had 8 players, and they lost their 13th straight game.
Yeah, no wonder Oladipo don't want to re-sign back there. Oladipo, like, y'all crazy. I haven't even seen him play for Houston. Has he played a game?
Yeah.
He has?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I saw at least one box score where he was playing. Yeah, he's averaging 20.
Oh, wow. It's quiet. Well, when you lose 13 in a row, I guess nobody pays attention.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of.
I haven't seen Oladipo highlights anywhere.
Well, yeah, because last night the Nets were back in Houston for the first time, and the Rockets are retiring James Harden's jersey, which is like.
Not last night, but they will be.
I was going to say, I didn't even hear of Oladipo last night. Did he play?
Yeah, he hit a 3 at the end, that's all I saw.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's played 15 games. He's averaging 19.9, which is right in line with what he's averaged really for his career.
I like Oladipo.
He's good. I mean, listen, he's a good player. Look.
He's not a max player, but like you said, somebody's going to give him a damn max contract.
Yep. Yep, they always do. They always do. All right, let's get Ellsworth in Allentown. Ellsworth, go ahead. How are you?
How you doing, guys?
My man.
What's up, Ellsworth?
I'll run through this real quick. When you were talking about Gabe Kapler and Joe Girardi, Gabe Kapler doesn't deserve to be mentioned as a manager, period. A lot of the bullpen issues we had last year and the injuries were from Kapler's abuse the prior
Love
couple
it.
Years.
Love it.
So Kapler.
So you're blaming Gabe for last year's problems too.
Yeah. Sir Anthony blowing out his arm. Hunter, you know, blowing out his arm. Robertson blowing out his arm. That was all from, you know, him misusing the bullpen, not warming guys up. He did it more than once. One of the games, the umpire, the pitcher came in without warming up, and the umpire went out. And
He gave him extra.
I'm going to let him warm throws. Up. He's going to hurt his arm. Kapler was just a pure idiot. And then Kingery and Reese Hoskins with that uppercut swing that Kapler and the hitting coach were trying to put in is what screwed them up. And I think you're going to see bounce back years from them this year.
Hope so.
Reese was starting to hit. Right before he got hurt with that catch that he made when the guy hit his glove on.
Well, listen, Ellsworth, he's very streaky. We know that. Reese is streaky. But, I mean, he's got to be able to carry the team. If he's going to be streaky, he's got to be able to carry the team when he's hot. And that's just not something he did last year. I mean, looking at last year, when you're not playing 162 and you're playing not even half of those games, like it's tough to really get – tough to really to say much of, like with Joe Girardi. Like they lost 7 of 8 to end the season, right? Joe Girardi was the manager, but it's like, you know, the third year in a row they collapsed. So is it because of Joe Girardi? Was it because of Gabe Kapler? Is it because the team's not good enough?
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to do with the team. Matt in Orland. Matt, how are you?
Hello?
Matthew?
What's up, Matt?
What's up,
hey,
buddy?
Sorry. I was making dinner. I'm a couple of like juices in, too. No, so
nice.
I have a couple
right.
points.
Ooh,
no,
boy.
So, yeah. No. So I think we're not thinking positively about Sirianni. We're not. If you have a young quarterback, you basically brought in a coach that's going to be able to coach up your receivers. You have a mediocre receiver core. Try to coach them up. You draft the best weapon possible at number 6. Defensive, offensive. Probably not a quarterback. That's my Sirianni point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The point about the – how can you argue a non-call? Like, what's going on? Do people want it to be like a video game, or do they want human beings to play this? Gamesmanship. It's gamesmanship. Sometimes you get away with it. And, like, you're going to take away the whole sporting aspect of the sport. If they want to play Madden football, let them play Madden football. but like sometimes you get away with stuff.
Human error is a part of sports. You're saying
it's absurd to be able to argue a non-call. You can argue a bad call, but a non-call, that's the game, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, I would imagine a lot of fans would push back on arguing a call that hasn't been made, and all of a sudden an official just makes a call because he saw it from a booth. Can you imagine the outrage that would bring if you call somebody a game over that? Like, if it's a call away from a play, but it happened, and it didn't have an impact on the play, but it was a penalty.
All right, so, but just so people are tuning in, these are rule changes that the NFL is going to consider. They need 24 of the 34 teams to vote to actually pass it. So, like a couple of scenarios where that could happen. Let's say that the referee misses an obvious face mask penalty, which we see all the time. Like the ref misses it, and you know the helmet gets jerked or whatever. But like that also isn't. Like, that's not stopping – like, I guess it could stop a runner from getting extra yards and getting a first down.
Well, but what
like,
if it doesn't?
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Then they just miss a penalty. Like a missing a pass interference call where the guy gets yanked down and there's no call. Like, that's a lot different than a play that may just have been a missed penalty but didn't have any impact or outcome.
Yeah, if you're telling me the play that NRC, Nicole Roby Coleman.
Oh, our guy.
Yeah.
Love NRC.
Had against the Saints.
Right.
And it wasn't called, and somebody needs to call. Okay. I think that's a play we can all agree on should have been a flag. Like, I don't think people would be upset if they turned that into a flag.
But do you want to review – but, like, to Matt's point, and it's a good one, do you want to be reviewing missed calls?
Right.
Right? Like, do you want the coach – and this is where – this is like what I believe has happened. The coach is throwing a challenge flag for a missed call. And it would obviously have to be like you can't do it for every
right. See, that's where I don't know, man. Right? And
like are you calling it because someone's lined up in the neutral zone and it's like, oh, you throw it, or is it for pass interferences, for obvious roughing the passers? Right? Like,
I think that's gonna be the one that the whole making the call that an official might have missed, that'll be difficult to get past. Through the coaches, meaning they need 24 votes.
Right.
The ones that's interesting to me is the overtime, going back to sudden death. I wonder if that's going to get passed. And the onside kick rule, the fourth thing.
That's the one thing I didn't bring up earlier.
And that's the one the Eagles keep offering up.
I hate that idea.
I love it.
So instead of an onside kick, you'd be given an option of having a fourth and 15 play, essentially.
Yes.
If you convert it, you get the first down.
Yes. If you're a team that's down – by 5 points or what have you, you need the possession. Would you rather have the opportunity to go for it on fourth and 15 or to kick an onside kick?
Of course.
You'd rather have the opportunity to go for it on
fourth and
15.
Of course, yes.
So, yeah, that's what you want. Now, looking at it from the defensive standpoint, which this game has never looked at it from that standpoint, yeah, of course they don't want that.
Which is why it's going to pass.
Yes, which is why it's going to pass. It's an offensive rule.
Yeah, but I look at it from, like, because we would be, the Eagles would be the ones who got screwed. They were up by 6 points, and they needed an onside kick, and the other team converted a fourth and 15 and won the game.
But you know why it wouldn't hurt them this year? Because Jim Schwartz is gone. And
Sticks
Sticks defense is out. Jonathan Gannon, we know so much about him. Heard he's a big press corner guy.
Oh, that's, we're definitely keeping Slay.
So I wonder if they would have to be, like, under a certain amount of time in the fourth quarter, like under 5 minutes.
Right, before you can do it.
Before
right.
you can do it.
Because we talked about that last year. Like, okay, are you going to keep doing
it? Just keep
that?
Doing it.
Yeah.
Like, you score a touchdown. Oh, let's go for the onside kick. But you're winning 7-0.
Well, the other part of that is, does a team that's winning.
Are they able to do it?
Right after they score.
Are they able to do it?
So it's probably got to be tinkered with a little bit. I mean, it's like the Eagles obviously feel passionate about it. It's what the third straight year they've done this.
Yeah, I wonder why.
But here's the reality of the situation. Do you like an onside kick? You always worry if it's your team because who the hell ever knows? But I believe it's like 12% conversion rate on onside kicks. Mm-hmm. Fourth and 15, I think was close to 30%. It was like 28%. It gives you a real shot. Fourth and 15, you don't feel great, but you still feel like you have a chance. Onside kick, you don't feel like you have a chance. Yeah. Not a real chance. Anyway, especially where now you can't line up on one side and you can't rush it.
Oh, man, we used to be able to blast the Joker over there like, hey, we got him.
Would you line up on the one side?
Oh, yeah, I would be on the side that has to go hit somebody as a sacrificial lamb. Yeah. I don't think I was ever the ball recover guy. Yeah, it was like, yeah, go get that guy. Yeah.
So would you pick somebody out before that you were going to hit?
Yes, sir.
Who was your favorite target?
Well, I don't know. It depends. Now, I'll tell you this. One time I did that in Atlanta, I got my clavicle separated. I picked the wrong guy. Yeah, he was waiting.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, but the worst part was we were losing like 30-something to 12 or something. Like the onside kick didn't matter. Even if we got it, it didn't matter.
You're still down four scores.
It was the last game of the season, and it was the end of the game. And this idiot has us onside kicking, and I separated my freaking clavicle on that play. God, those morons in Atlanta, man.
Another reason why you were out.
I need to see the package. I
mean,
it's still not even. It's like one side is dented in from
so
that.
You're still.
I'm still deformed.
You're still deformed from a stupid final game of the season. No point in the game. You guys were
onside
already done.
Kick and somebody smashed me from the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. Because I went in there half-assed like, yeah, I ain't about to get hurt. And guess what happened?
You got hurt.
I got hurt.
All right, Jack, clear the lines. We play In the Envelope on Thursdays at 5:25-ish, a little bit later today. 215-592-9494. We're going to put a 76ers center in the envelope. That's right. Get in now. 215-592-9494. You're going to ask a yes or no question. We're going to answer, and then you're going to get your guess at who the 76ers center is. That's coming up next. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.